morning, everyone. Welcome to those who are guests with us this morning. It's delightful to have you here at the Cathedral for Mass on this, the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I met a couple that have returned, several folks that have returned for many, many months to Mass this morning, so welcome back. And to those who are at home and taking advantage of the live stream, we look forward to seeing you hopefully in the near future too, when you feel like it now is the time for us to return as well. I want to say welcome to the quartet who is with us this morning, members of the choir. It's just a real blessing and a gift that they're with us today and will continue to be as we just continue to make those steps to get back to our normal worship, our normal Mass on Sunday morning. Yet if for every act of cruelty, ignorance, true patriots respond with 100 deeds of kindness and love, then we whose hearts were broken 10 years ago may still stand triumphant at the doorstep of hope. And to the young and who may not recall that day when victims and heroes' blood mingled with our tears, people from around the globe together mourned our loss, tell of this last chance to be a beacon to our darkened world. When preparing my homily for this morning, and after the Blue Mass on Friday here at the Cathedral on September 11th, I ran across this quote from 9 years ago on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And it's the last line that drew me in. Tell of this last chance to be a beacon to our darkened world. This great parable about forgiveness is always read every third year on the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's intriguing and somewhat ominous that this 24th Sunday with its parable about forgiveness should land this year on a Sunday in September as well, when we, 9 years later, need once again, for a little bit different reason, but similar reasons, to be a beacon to our darkened world. I've had many friends and parishioners from my former parish in Elizabethtown ask me, are you afraid to be in Louisville? Do you feel safe? I answer no to the first question and yes to the second. No, I don't feel afraid. Yes, I feel safe. Probably like you and those of you joining us via live stream or watching Mass sometime later this week, you've been confronted with those questions. The sacred scriptures today help us to realize and to remember we're here because we have faith. And we have so many witnesses to the faith that help us realize and find strength. The story is the same. The song is the same. We're strong and resilient. Bravery comes in all shapes and forms. Faith can grow from horrific circumstances. In tragedy, love is needed more than ever. We are, none of us, ever alone. I wonder if the Holy Gospels were being written today, Jesus may very well choose the events of late as the parable to underscore how deep is the mercy of God, His forgiveness, to rely, as we heard in the Holy Gospel, on divine justice, not our own, and how we are to extend that very same to others, most especially those who have hurt us, those who have hurt us deeply, especially when we know rather clearly that that hurt was intentional. The parable also implies, I think, that while forgiveness can be called for, it can never be forced. Nor is the mystery of forgiveness limited to widespread hate and anger growing like an infection in so many circles of our country and communities. I know that I, and I suspect you as well, have at one time or another gotten stuck by some offense or personal slight, overlooked the manifold grace extended to me, to you, by God, by countless others. Perhaps Jesus commands such extravagant forgiveness because he knows it may take some of us that long for it to really come home, take up residence in our minds, our hearts, be visible in our lives. For this reason, this is a parable that speaks most powerfully when we address it first to ourselves, rather than using it as a standard by which to judge others. It's much harder, at least for me, to deal with forgiveness that is up close and personal. It's not dealing with national politics or national tragedies or with headlines, but rather dealing with the hurts and wrongs inflicted on me, on you, by those closest to us. Friends, family members, boyfriends, girlfriends, classmates, co-workers, neighbors, all of those that we come into contact with and live our lives with every day. But how in the world do you live out forgiveness there? In imitation of what we heard in the sacred scriptures and in imitation of Christ, opening up to God's great mercy and love. My own desperate desire to respond affirmatively to that invitation, take on willingly demands of discipleship, try to be a faithful Catholic, an honest priest, a good pastor, I've learned the following 10 commandments of forgiveness, and I offer them to you, maybe helpful to you, for your own well-being, and for a lesson in love so that we will be a beacon of truth and a promoter of divine justice in a darkened world. Here we go. Number one, forgiveness is not easy. You know that. Takes time, takes effort, takes God's grace. Number two, forgiveness is not forgetting. Doesn't mean a change in memory. Means a change in heart. Forgiveness does not overlook evil. In other words, it's not avoidance, it's not denial. Number four, forgiveness is not destructive. It does not mean that we let hurt and damage continue to go on and on and on. Number five, forgiveness is not the same thing as approval. In fact, just the opposite. Now that's the first five. I hate to tell you this, but it gets a little more difficult with the next five. Sometimes, even to the point of, I'm not sure I can accept that, or I think that's real. But the next five are lifted directly out of the Holy Gospel, the Gospel way of life. Forgiveness, based on recognizing and admitting that people are always bigger than their faults. In other words, I should not define people by just the way they've treated me. There's more to them. More to people that God has created than just their limitations or their sins. Number 7, forgiveness is willing to allow a person who has offended me to start over again. Or do I say, which I'm tempted to do, no, I'm not giving you a second chance. No, I will not ever let go. I'll never let you begin again. Number 8, forgiveness recognizes the humanity of the person who has wronged us. Recognizes our own humanity and our own shortcomings. And one of the most difficult for me, my own contribution to what went wrong. Next, forgiveness surrenders the right to get even. Lastly, forgiveness means we wish the person, the group that has hurt us, we wish them well. In fact, we wish them the best. Those are lifted out of our Christian way of life, the Holy Gospel as our way of life. So this Sunday, it's challenging for us not to focus on recent past events, what looms large, perhaps on the horizon for our city. The reason we're here is because of our faith. More importantly for us this morning is to remember the events of 2,000 years ago, not last week. From God's own Son surveying the field of broken lives, desolate hearts, chose to call down from heaven forgiveness, not vengeance. In this way, opened a future marked not by judgment, but by mercy. Not by fear, but trust. Not by despair, but hope. Not by violence, healing. Not by scarcity, but abundance. Not by hate, but charity. Not by death, but by life. And that you may have it to the full. All of that is what forgiveness can do. So may the Lord, who is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion, give to all of us that palpable sense of the forgiveness in which and by which we live. Grant us the grace, faith, courage to walk into the future such forgiveness creates.